Okay, we left off yesterday at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Bet with the Gemara searching for the source for Bishul Akum. The Gemara concluded that it was Midurabonon v'kras machta bi'alma, that's a din durabonon, but it's premised on the Pasuk. The formulation, the last formulation of how it is said, does have nafka minot. We'll just read that again, which is ma'mayim shlonishtenu mibriyatam al-yadea or. It's like water is not changed from its original state by the fire. Av ochel shlonishten biriyatam al-yadea or. That's only ochel that is permitted, that is ochel that is not changed from its original state through the use of fire. So that's the definition of what is permitted to buy from a akum, from a non-Jew, or to take from the bishulei akum. Anything that does not fit into that category, fit into the definition, will be excluded. So now the Gemara brings down the two basic qualifications for what is classified as bishul akum. Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, this is the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. Anything that can be eaten in its current state, in its raw state before it is cooked, then the cooking by the Ovid Kochavim does nothing or is not additive, and therefore there's no problem with Bishul Akum. Say, Besura Matnuhochim. In Surah they learned that way. Bepumpedito Matnuhochim. Bepumpedito they learned otherwise. Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, come around. Anything that is not brought onto the table of a king, and the important part is the lafeit bo the pot to accompany pot, ain't bo mishum bishule ovdei kochavim. And there's no din of bishul ovdei kochavim with regards to that item. Might be nayu. What's the nafkamina between these two reasons? So when it says, ikre binayu, dagim ktanim, v'arde v'daiso. The difference between it will be dagim ktanim, small fish, arde, which are mushrooms, some sort of fungus, v'daiso, which is farina. So those items, those three items are not eaten kehem chai, they're not eaten in their raw state, but they're also not oleh ha-shulchan melachim. They're not brought before the shulchan melachim lefet po et apat. So according to the reason that kol shenechol kushmut chai and bo mishum shulev dechavim, that's not relevant over here, and these would have a din of bishul akum. On the other hand, according to the reason about oleh ha-shulchan melachim, these would not qualify for bishul akum because they're not oleh ha-shulchan melachim. These are not brought, these are not significant foods over here. Now, what's important here is that the Gemara brought nafka minot, which is interesting. The Gemara brought nafka minot. It could have gone in one and two different directions. It could have brought items that are nechalim shel chai, but do end up on shulchan melachim. And the examples of that are, for instance, honey, dvash, gvina, cheese. Those are items that are ole al shulchan melachim, but are also nechalim kishen chai. They're eaten in their raw state. They don't have to be cooked necessarily.
Cheese is processed.
Right, but not, it doesn't have to be heated. Right, it's not that be heated, but you could melt the cheese later on, and that would not change it, that it could have been eaten in its raw state, and then it could have been eaten in its cooked state. So the fact that it doesn't do that, and brings the nafka minot the other way, the Rabbeinu Tam concludes over here, which is very important, it's in the Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam therefore concludes, it's in the Ikabeinayu, in the Tosfos there, Rabbeinu Tam, the Dinakad honey, Velokta Nakad Devashuk Vina, Sholim Ashukha Malachim Vinachlim Echayim, Shma Mina. From this you can conclude the Baila Mincha Dvarim Shnaseh Behen Lashon Achron Musaf Al Rishon. The Gemara wanted to give examples where the second Lashon was relevant versus the first Lashon. Ula Hakel Alav. And to bring a Kudo. What does that mean? Da'afilu Enu Nechal Chai, even though it's not eating Chai. Kevin Den Ole Leit Be Mishum Bishuli Agdei Chachamim. Lafeik Lachin Pasak Rabbeinu Tam Dehilchu Gatahani Trei Lishne. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam is posek, and this has major nafkamina l'alacha. Everybody's still faced this din of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is that both apply. If either one is true, it's not bishul akum. So if it's in its raw state, or it's oleh shulchan melachim, either one of those is enough to make it that you will not have a problem with bishul akum. He brings examples later on in the Gemara. We see both Amoraim going in both directions and being makil from both stadim. I would say that none of, if you read through the Tosfos, none of it's mukhrach, that the Rabbeinu Tam, you have to learn that way, or you have to say that it's necessarily that you could be makel in both. But it's clear that they had this misora, and it's divrei d'rabbanan, and mishal sofri machala lahakel, so we're gonna go to kula, and they wanna use the second lashon to be makel, not to be machmir, because we're in a din d'rabbanan, and therefore everybody's toface, la'locha, that either one of the two is enough to qualify to prevent it being bishul akum. Alright, so we'll keep that in mind, because that becomes important when it comes to bishul akum. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav, dagim ktanim miluchim, small fish that are salted from the Gemara in Beitzah, ein bahem bishum shulei avdei chavim. They do not have a din of bishul akum. So they don't have a bit different abishul akum because nechalim kamo shehein machmat milchan. They do not need to be cooked because it can be eaten raw in that raw state according to Rashi. Even though we know that in other places when you salt something, that is as a din of bishul. So over here, the salting or the here would be kavush or the pickling, using of the item to cook over here of salt will not qualify for bishul akum. And that's the other heter of bishul akum, which as we saw before, it has to be done ayudeya ur. It has to be done thing that it's a real form of bishul. Not bishul where we have in Shabbos and in basar b'chalav and tarfus where we have certain items that are considered like bishul, which is kavush, meluach, all these types of items that have a status as if cooked, right? Those don't apply to bishul akum. It's only items themselves that are cooked, really cooked, that'll make a difference for bishul akum.
Would it be a nafkamina microwave?
All right, so we'll get to that. It's a big nafkamina microwave.
Salted, and I was considering the contamination to be not fish that you salted, but fish that are inherently salty.
Right. That's not the way Tosus learns. I mean, I just give you a look in Tosus. Now, Tosus reads a perish. In bishlam over kachvim achar shemicham Israel. A Jew salted them, and then a goy cooked them. So the Jew salted them, makes them edible. Basically, you have sushi. Salted, whatever this raw fish will be eaten in their salted state. And therefore, cooking them afterwards has no effect on them. So it's not that they would be eaten as sushi, and then when you salt them, that has no impact. Salting doesn't have any impact, which you could imply from Rashi. Rashi could be reading exactly like the Tosfos, which is not. That the miluach is enough to make them into an edible state, where the bishul afterwards doesn't have any impact on them. Zemar of Yosef, im tzal'an ubdechumim, they were roasted by the non-Jew, somech Israel alehem, mishum erube tavshilin. So now, if he roasts them, not a problem, because we already have them being maluach, or edible in the prior state. So when he roasts them, he hasn't done anything. Therefore, sumech Yisrael Ha'am, you can use that for your Erev Tavshilin, because it's not bishul akum. But then, iavdino b'chomim karsa d'arsino, if he makes them into some sort of fish hash, which is a fish brine with fish fat in it, along with kemach, along with the flour inside of it, a sewer. There it's a problem of bishul akum. I said, pshito, of course it's bishul akum. Ma'udetema, what I would have thought? The harsono ikar. So I would have thought that by the fish hash or this fish mixture, what's the ikar? The harsono. The harsono is the fish fat and the brine, which is the fish contribution, which does not have bishul akum. Shmamino or the kamash malon, kimcho ikar. Over here, that what is the main ingredient or the main item? That is the flour. And in the flour, you can't say that. You can't say there's no bishul akum by flour. Flour is not edible by itself. And therefore, when he cooks the flour and he makes it into whatever dish this is by heating it up and baking it or cooking this fish hash, that changes the status of the kimcha, the flour. By changing that, you have bishul akum in the flour.
In Shabbos, we have the concept that there's certain types of heating that add to or are different than the initial type of heating, and therefore maybe us or
all right, so that we'll get to with bagels. It's interesting. Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva by bagels exactly on that, but bishul achar afiyah, and it might also have, by Shabbos, that we'll see later on today, about there may be a difference in bishul Shabbos versus bishul akum. So Amar Rav Bruna, Amar Rav, Ovi kuchavim, shitzitit or ba'agam. He went ahead and he lit a fire to clear out a marsh. So he had there was a marsh, an overgrown marsh, and he wanted to clear it out. So he lit fire to it to take it out. All the grasshoppers, locusts that are found in that agam that have been killed by the fire and been cooked by the fire are asurim. So now, hechidami, what's the issue here? You can't distinguish anymore between which grasshopper is kosher and which one's not. Right? You can't make your chocolate-covered grasshoppers because you don't know which one's the kosher one, which one's the non-kosher one. Right? So my iri ove kochavim. What does it have to do with the non-Jew lighting fire to it? Afil Yisrael nami. Even if a Jew lit fire to the marsh, it would make no difference. You can't differentiate between what's there. Ella must be that the fact that it's an ove kochavim here, it's bishum bishulei ovdei kochavim. That's a problem, bishul akum here. He cooked all the grasshoppers for you, and now they're edible, because he cooked all the grasshoppers. So Gemara says, ki ay gavna mi asir? In such a case, is it asir? One of the premises here, you have to know that both Tosfos and Rashi point out here, that a chagav does not require shechita. That a chagav, these locusts or grasshoppers, do not require any shechita. They just have to be dead. They don't have to, you can't eat them alive, but as long as they are dead, that the anything that is done to terminate their life, that's enough to be make them edible. So that's clear over here. We don't have a problem with shechita over here. Right? So we don't have a problem with shechita. We just have a problem of bishlakum, which is that they were then in their raw state after they were dead. But here he also cooked them to make them edible for you. So why is that not problematic? Amar says, because Amar Rav Chanan Ba'ami, Amar Rav Pedat, Amar Rav Yochanan, I always call him the Chorich Resha. He decides, again, that he has a head, the Rabbeinu Chanan says a head of a keves, right? He was Rosh Hashanah. He was getting ready to sell to his Jewish clientele. He's got a Rosh Keves. So he doesn't, they don't want all the hair on the Rosh Keves. So, smart guy, what does he do? He burns the hair off the Rosh Keves. So Chorich Resha, Shari the Mechel Mine, you can eat it. He was burning the hair off, and in the end, it ended up cooking the head when he burnt the hair off. Afilu mirosh onei, even from the ear which Rashi says is easy to cook, or very light, and then when the fire gets to it, it cooks very easily. Because, almo, lavuri seyar kamikavein. His intent is not to cook over here. His intent is to burn the hair off. As a side effect, or even a psikreshe over here, it ends up cooking the head as well. But that's not the problem. As long as his kavana was not to cook, even with psikreshe, as long as his intent was simply to remove the hair, then we don't worry about the fact that it also, as an aside, or as a side effect, cooked the animal. So in our case also, his intention is to clear the marsh, not to cook the grasshoppers or the locusts. And therefore there's no din in bishul akum. Bishul akum requires kavana a bishul. The problem is bishul. You need intentional cooking, because the whole problem, one of two possibilities. One, Rashi says the problem over here is a problem of he's going to be add in dover tameh. He's going to mix in dover tameh. If he has no intent to be mevashel, why would you ever worry about him mixing in dover tameh? He's working on something else. The fact that it cooks has no bearing on what he's trying to accomplish, like removing the hair or clearing the marsh. So he's not going to add a dover tameh. The other possibility is mishum chatnut. My problem with getting married. He's not inviting his friends over to eat the meal. You mean that he's not inviting them over. It ends up getting cooked, but he's not cooking with the intent to invite over his friends. He burnt down the marsh with intent to invite over his friends for all the grasshoppers that are left over. That wasn't. He wanted to clear the marsh. So that had nothing to do with Mishum Chatnut. So the reasoning, if he doesn't have intent for cooking, the reason that Bishul Akum is Asur is just not relevant in these cases. So you need intent for Bishul in order to be a problem for Bishul Akum. So now Gemara says, all right, so now once you've done that, what is the problem here? Why can't you eat these grasshoppers? Where it says, Lom tol yod ay tar vay tamay. He doesn't know which one is tor, which one is tamay. Umay sashay abobi kuchonamayot. That just was the case. The case was that it was no kuchonamayot that burnt down his marsh, and that's why they had it. Had it been a Jew, it would have been the same halacha. Just that's what the case was. It's an agufa. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, Amar Rabbi Ptat, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He burns off the hair, he lets eat from the head, even from the ear. Therefore, we can conclude from this. Who throws in, the English translation is a coulter, but I think it would be a peg of some sort. Some sort of peg that he throws in. It's a metallic peg that he's throwing into the oven in order to cook up the peg and to form or do something to the peg. They covered by Yisrael Krah. The Jew had buried in this oven at the same time he had a gourd. Now gourds are, in their raw state, are hard and inedible. Once they're heated, you have this in the Gemara Shabbos and other places, that once you heat up the gourd, it becomes edible. They used to do this by sticking into the remets, the ashes or the coals at the base of the oven. They used to bury the gourd inside of it, and that heating of the gourd made it edible. So he sticks in his gourd into this oven. Meantime, after the guy comes and he's cooking his sichta in there, and that ends up helping up the Jew by having his gourd be cooked. So he says, Mikor Mikor, it was there originally. Shapir Dami, he can eat the gourd. The other possibility here, as Tzvi points out, is that the sichta datuno is talking about a wood peg, not a metal peg, but a wood peg that is being dried out. And that's the question over here, because they're doing some sort of cooking process where they're drying or taking the moisture out of it, and that's the question here. I said, Shita. Why wouldn't you think he could eat it here? The goy has no intent to cook his gourd. He doesn't even know the gourd's there. The goy intends to cook his sichta, to put in his sichta and heat up his sichta, and there is heat up this peg. So when it says, Maudotema, the vishule mono kamikave. His intent here is to cook the keli. He's trying to heat up the kli. Kamash Malan, that's not his intention over here. The shrui mono kamikave. His intention is to harden the kli over here. He doesn't want softened metal. The heating of the metal is in the end to create a harder or stronger peg. He doesn't want to create a softer peg in the end. So the cooking is just a means to get to the end of hardening the peg or forming the peg. So because of that, his intent is not for bishul. His intent is for tikkun kli. Now this has nafkamin, as you asked before, tzvi about Shabbos. On Shabbos, this is not true. On Shabbos, we say that when someone cooks it and heats something up like a kli, then it softens it to the point that has a din in bishul also. When he hardens it, it's a din in tikkun kli. But when he cooks it or heats it up, it has a din of bishul. The example of tikkun kli is in the yoma, the grind yoma by the Kohen Gadol. They used to heat up the rods to put in the mitzvah to keep it hot, so that we keep the water warm. So over there, the Gemara says, oh, that's a problem of tikkun mono, because he's going to heat the rods and he puts them in and it hardens the rods. Right over there, it says there was only a shvus. Shvus the rabbon, and the mikdash, they were not gozer mishum shvus. But you see that there is this idea of tikkun kli, but also, in the last Tosfos over here, and this is what you were asking before, is there a difference between Shabbos and Bishul Akum? Here Tosfos lays it out. The final, this is the last Tosfos on the Amud, where he says, Haimon deshari sifla tuna chaya mishum mevasho. Haino the Indian Shabbos. That which we say in Klal Gadol, that one who cooks a sichta is chay mishum bishul, that's in Shabbos. The avakel shrei mono kamikavin, in the end, his intent to heat it, it's only to end up with a harder kli in the end, also by Shabbos. It softens a little bit. And on Shabbos, that's enough to be considered bishul. Gam oto bishul garu mitkavin. Begavi Shabbos yechmiro lachshivo. In Shabbos, we're machshiv, that type of bishul, to classify as bishul and your chayav. Aval in bishul of the yechavim lo choshiv. Ve'eno asur actually kavin the bishul gomor. So you see already a difference. In Shabbos, we're looking for melechet machshevet. He wants intense or some sort of any kind of cooking is enough to make you chayav. Over here, we're looking for full-fledged cooking. We don't, a little cooking here, a little softening of the item. That's not enough to create bishul akum. Bishul akum, we want full-fledged cooking. So again, that difference between Shabbos here and Shabbos is going to be chayav. By bishul akum, it's not going to be a problem with bishul akum for that division. Shabbos is looking after melechet machshevet. Bishul akum is looking for full-fledged bishul, complete bishul. And that's again what we spoke about before, about meliach, kavush, all these things that are classified as considered like bishul, they may not be enough when it comes to bishul akum, because they are not full-fledged bishul like we can classify as bishul. Some of Yisrael basar gabi chachalim, a Jew who puts meat onto the coals, ubaubi chachavim vafachba, or chavachbo, mutar. A non-Jew comes and he stokes the meat, he turns it over, he flips the hamburger. But a Jew puts the hamburger on the barbecue, and then a non-Jew comes and he flips the hamburger. So if the meat would have cooked anyway, even if the non-Jew did not intervene, then pshita, then what did he do? He didn't do anything that was added over here. Well, if the case was that the hamburger would not have cooked had he not flipped it over, then am I mutar? Then the guy did everything. He caused it to be cooked. So this is the big, had he not flipped it over, it would have taken 2 hours. He's accelerating the cooking process. His intervention accelerates the cooking. So, the acceleration of cooking as a din and bishul, that's not the case. That's not the case. Acceleration of cooking does not do anything for you over here in terms of bishul akum, because it would have cooked otherwise. The goy did nothing to, in terms of cooking. He did something to accelerate the cooking process, but that's not called bishul akum. You need the akum to do the actual action of bishul, or to make it or put it into a position where the bishul will happen. The Jew already did that. Once the Jew has done that, the goy's intervention is in malar amorit.
That's a difference from Shabbos. Also, Shabbos too.
Right, that would be, accelerating bishul would be, right, exactly. Magis in a pot, exactly, would be classified as a problem on Shabbos, right. So now we have something that does come from Shabbos a little bit. Anything that's like, does not have a din of bishul akum. So once it's reached Gmachal ben Dusai, it doesn't have a din of bishul akum anymore. What is Gmachal ben Dusai over here? It's interesting. Nobody gives a debt. Rashi doesn't say. Rashi says that he was a person of fame, you know, the famous robber who used to eat things not fully cooked. But Rashi here doesn't give any sense of what that means. What is the level of Gmachal ben Dusai? Is it one third, one half? Right, as opposed to in Shabbos, where they define, try to define what the level of Machum and Dusai is. Over here, he doesn't define that. Mara says, okay, I can imply from that. That's the thing. Ha, ke'enuk Machum and Dusai yishwa mishum shulev dechavim. Sounds like from this, that if it did not reach the point of Machum and Dusai, it has a din of bishlakum. So the problem is, hatam, wait, we had before, which is, before we had the case where a Jew does it, and then the goy comes and flips it, and there, we sit up front, and he says, oh, that's not a problem. That's not a problem with Bishlakim, even though it wasn't Machal Ben Dusai yet. So even though it wasn't Machal Ben Dusai.
Yeah, because the Jews started that process of cooking, so the goy continues, it's still a continuation of the act of cooking that the Jews started.
Alright, so that's basically what the Gemara is going to answer here. The Gemara says, Yesh Mishma Vilatam Khatam came into Otve Bisilta, Bishakle of the Chabim, Otve Bitanura. Right, over there, the case was that he took it out of a basket. And the Ovi Kachavim put it into the oven. Meaning that the Ovi Kachavim, it would not have cooked. Without the intervention of the Goy, the item would not have cooked. In that instance, if it's reached Machal Ben Dusai, you're okay. If it hasn't reached Machal Ben Dusai, then the Goy is doing the cooking and you have a problem. And as Shaul stated before, the Jew already put on the fire, is in the process of cooking, all he's doing there is accelerating. So there's a big difference, and this is a key difference in Bishul Akum, is whether the Akum is creating the circumstances in which the item will be cooked. There is a problem in Bishul Akum, unless it's reached Kamacha Ben Dusai, before he does it, by a Yudea Jew. On the other hand, if the Jew sets up the cooking process and puts it in the position where it will cook anyway, then the Goy's intervention at that point isn't Malo Morid, because the Jew created that position or created the situation in which the item would cook. So that's the difference between them. Rabbeinu Chananu reads the Gemara slightly different over here, and because of that, he comes to a different conclusion later on in the Gemara, which is that when he says over here, Kamachum Deshai, he says, Sugi the Shmaitun, it's down in the Rabbeinu Chananu, in your daf, I don't know, your tzuris daf is a little different. Here in the regular Vilna Shas, it's the second to last line in the Rabbeinu Chananu. It says, Sugi the Shmaitun, Ovi Chachom Shalach Basar Misrael, Benatnoa Gav Ha'ur. It's the other way around. It's a non-Jew who took Basar Misrael and put on a fire. If the Goy brought it to the point of Macham Dusai becomes a sur, even though a Jew finished it. Now this will have an afkamina when we turn the daf, that the Gemara is going to say that as long as the Jew's involved anywhere in the process, there's no problem. But according to Rabbeinu Chananu, that's not true if the Goy already brought it to the point of Macham Dusai. It's a big chumrah here of the Rach. Shukrach quotes it, but you have to know this Rach because it makes a big difference. If you hold, like if you turn the daf and the way we've read the Gemara till now, Machum Dusai is only relevant by a Jew in protecting against Bishlakum. It doesn't have the opposite effect, which is that if a Goy brings it to Machum Dusai, then it's over. That we don't have from our Gemara. The Rach's reading of the Gemara does bring you to that point.
Well, you can definitely have some logic of saying that.
You can infer it.
So the guy cooked it.
Right, so you could infer it.
You cooked it more. Okay.
All right, we'll see it in the next statement of the Gemara that it seems not to. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down, the Chatchila, the Chumra. The Ramah there says, the Chatchila, we should be choshish for this Rach. But B'dievet, you know, and Chenu Agam, he says, B'dievet, that we're not choshish for the Rach. But you should know that he does, the Chatchila, they do bring down this Rach, which has a big nafkamin. All right, we'll see it in a second. I just want to point it out to you here, because that's where he makes the comment. It makes a big difference when we turn the page. All right, so now the Gemara says, Tani Nami Ochi, you have a brace that supports that. Meniach Yisrael Basar Gabi Gichalim, you put on the coals. Ubao Vichomim, Hapek Boat, Shibo Yisrael, Mi Beit HaKnesset, Umi Beit HaMidrash. So the Jew can go learn and daven and come back, and you have the guy flipping the hamburger for him the whole time. Come back and he can eat it. Veino Choshesh, doesn't have to worry about it. Shofet Tishak Tera Gabi Kira, she can place a boiling pot on top of the stove. Ubat Ovedet Kochavim, and then she has her neighbor come along, Umi Gisak, she can stir the pot. Sociologically, this was a very interesting baisa. I just noted over here. There's nobody saying anything. I'm just noting it as a sociological item that the man went to the Beit Midrash and the Beit Knesset. The woman went to the Beit Merchat and to the Beit Knesset, which was not a common practice in their time, and even until the Middle Ages, where women went to shul in general. Over here, the time that the women were in the Beit Knesset. Right, we don't find any Ezret Nashim in many of the old Batei Knesiot over here. Rabbeinu Chananu here says, instead that it's Bajitei Menachat, so B'tavo Menashuk. They're not Beit Knesset. So I think that's interesting sociologically that the Gemara included Beit Knesset, that she was in a Beit Knesset. That's no meaning in Halacha. I'm just pointing it out from a sociological standpoint. But here, both of them are okay because the Jew put it into the cooking process, put it in the framework where it would cook anyway, and the fact that the Oved Chacham is mixing it or the Oved Chacham is flipping the hamburger, that's fine, and when you come back, you can eat it, any problem, in Chosheshet. Ibadu. Hiniach Oved Chachavim, put on back. Vafach Yisrael Mahu, the opposite way around. The goy puts it into a position where it's going to cook anyway, and the Jew starts doing the flipping. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Kavachomer. Gamrobi Adobe Chachavim Mutar, Gamrobi Yisrael Kosher Kain. The non-Jew finishes up the cooking process, that's okay. And certainly when the Jew finishes the cooking process, it should be okay. It's Marnami, and here comes the big kula. Amar Rabbi Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Amilo, Amar Rabbi Chacha, Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ben Shiniach, Obi Kachavim, Vafach Yisrael. Whether the non-Jew places it into the cooking position, and the Jew's doing the flipping, or cooking, finishing the process. Ben Shiniach, Yisrael, Vafach, Obi Kachavim, Mutar. Either way, it's mutar. Ve'eino asur. Listen to the statement of the Gemara, and you'll tell me that it does not sound like the Rabbeinu Chananel. Ve'eino asur achitei tchilato v'gamro b'yado v'chachamim. It's to be from beginning to end by a non-Jew in order to be problematic. Over here, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, u'buvad shlotei b'yado v'chachamim bishul k'machom endusai. Rabbeinu Chananel right over here says, except when it up to a machom endusai v'chachamim is over. That's not what it sounds like from the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like it has to be completely by the Obi Chachamim, and that's when it's problematic.
The Gemara doesn't change the gears over here.
No.
He just interprets it
based on what the way he learned the Gemara before.
It's the same, because the Gemara is really Machom Endusai at that point.
Yeah. Right. So I'm saying it's not so simple that he applies it, but the fact that he reads the Gemara the other way before forces him over here to add it. Now Tosfos brings over here what ends up being the massive kula of the Ashkenazim, which is not well accepted by all the other Rishonim necessarily, and that's where it comes up to a big difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. Tosfos over here says, "Bikula shmaite mashma, divinian shei Yisrael mekarev bishul k'tat." All a Jew has to do is be involved in the cooking process to accelerate somewhat. Mashna gru, right? So mashna gru lashlik kisem the tanur. What are they? They throw a little piece of wood into the tanur. The somchim al mash yesh bedreim shem bnei beavel the bnei Eretz Yisrael. Because I don't know where this happened here. All of a sudden they throw a little thing into the fire and they call that cooking. Why does that have anything to do? Over here, the sugyot all say that the Jew has to have some physical involvement in the cooking process. Throwing a little toothpick or throwing in a little piece of wood into the fire, what does that do? As well as starting the fire. Just because you turned on the fire, what did you do in the cooking process when you turned on the fire? Now he says, we are so mechamal yesh v'dvarim b'nei 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 Eretz Yisrael. Yushalmi brings, b'nei b'avel mashkirim kisem l'tanur. B'nei b'avel used to throw in a little kisem to the tanur and say enough. U'b'nei ma'rav omrim kisem zeh ma'meleh ma'marid. So, and Bnei Eretz Yisrael say, what does it make a difference that you threw a kisem in there? So, Anonim Shachim our Bnei Bavel with Talmudam. We go after the Bnei Bavel. That's what Tosfos says. That's our heter over here. That we only require a kisem to go in there. Now, there are others like the Rosh and others that take issue with this. The Rosh says, he brings down like the Tosfos L'chora Muva, and then he says, Binav, and he says in the end, he says, V'efshar shenagu arishonim b'tchilat hisekev shel tanur sheteni bo Yisrael me'at gichalim v'kisem alot shel hevet. He says that maybe the original minhag was that the Jew would take a kisem to start the fire and put it into some coals. So there he creates a significant fire, and there he's involved in the cooking process. Hilkach, afal pi sheosif obi kachim beitzim, even though later on the non-Jew adds on more wood, beisik vafak, kevish tchilat hadbaka medura, nasei pisrion, nikra kol hasek ashmo. Since he started the ikar of fire, that's enough. Not just throwing kisem, but starting the whole fire and putting it into kachalim. Vachronim ro, others saw it later on. They took about the starting of the fire and they applied it in the middle that you can just throw in a little, you know, a little flint, a little something in there to start get the, into the fire and that would be sufficient. Says, and the Rambam, he says, the Rambam wrote, and then he says to him, the Rambam wrote that this is fine. And then volition to Gemara lo mashmahafi. He says, I don't understand this. This is the rush. Leave the Jews that they be shogigim. He says, I don't know what they're doing over here. What are they doing over here? And for this reason, now you have to deal with this. You have to, we know the halacha, I'll tell you, the bottom line is the halacha, that the Shulchan Aruch says that it doesn't work. That just turning on the fire or throwing it in a kisem is not enough. That the Jew has to be involved in the process in order to make the cooking. The Ramah says no, that we're knowing to throw in a kisem and it works. And that's, B'nai Ashkenaz or Somech on that for Bishul Akum. Doesn't work for Bishul Akum for a Sfaradim. Problem is now we have, what do we have here? We have the Rambam. We just heard the Rosh quote the Rambam who says the same thing, that a kisem is enough. So why do all of a sudden, if the Rambam says this, then why are we going after, why is the Shulchan Aruch fasting against the Rambam? Has to be because of the Rosh and the Tur. The Rosh and the Tur. The Tur followed his father, the Rosh, and they said it's a problem. But it turns out that the Shulchan Aruch and others differentiate here. They differentiate between where the Rambam wrote it. I'll read you what the Rambam says. The Rambam wrote, when it comes to this, check our Gemara. Just needs to be a hekir that we know that it's not bishulakum. That's the end of the Rambam. So that those that point out, and it becomes important, that the idea or what the Rambam said is only true by pot. The key same works by pot, and it does not work by bishulakum by other items. There's a difference between pot and bishulakum. That was what we said before. The bishul akum by a pot has a difference, and that Rambam about the kisim is different. The Taz later on differentiates and points out that the difference might be that by a pot, there are two differences. One is that the heating up of the oven is significant by a pot. By pot, the actual heating of the oven is everything, because later on they clear their megarif the oven, and then they put the pot, they might bake it to the walls. Whereas by bishul, the process of bishul continues on and on, by the fire is still there, and the gechalim are there all the way through. So throwing in a kisim to the, by a, case of the ovens or the furnaces where you're cooking, regular cooking, that doesn't do anything. But by pot, it's a significant part of the process, it's just the heating of the oven. The heating of the oven is what creates all the heating, the cooking later on. So that might be significant. That's what Taz differentiates. But in the end, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is a big difference between those that, B'nai Ashkenaz and, B'nai Sefarad, about what is considered Bishul Akum and how much involvement we need of the Jew in order to not be classified as Bishul Akum over here. Alright, the other thing I wanted to deal with, which, David brought up before, is microwaves. What's the din by microwaves? Microwaves cook, and they cook in a normal manner, but they don't cook with fire. So that might be a big nafkamina between them, whether they're considered or classified as bishul akum. Ramosha and the Igros Moshe, as well as, the Shevet Alevi, has a tshuva. Both of them have a tshuva, and they both are the gamre, say that a microwave has a din of bishul the gamre. It's totally like, it's a complete bishul. Even though the Rav Moshe before differentiates between toldot hachama and toldot ha'or, but over here that this is not a toldot ha'or. He says, nevertheless, the microwave, you should listen to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's language is so interesting, because he's writing before microwaves became prevalent. And he says, I'm just going to say, he says, imkein, by microwave, oven, right? So he says, shetov levasho bo kamo be'esh mamash. It's as good as cooking with fire. El sheish lem tanur, because anybody who has this type of oven, you'll tell me bishul desh, uses it more than his fire. Mashalot bishpashu atanurim elo, adayin hu mishum tulo matsuy, adayin harbei tanurim. The reason it's not, everybody doesn't have them is because they're just not out in the marketplace. They're just not enough of them. It hasn't become a widely spread usage. But, shiyu mitsuyin, when they do become prevalent, everybody will definitely use them. It's much better at cooking. You're like, listen, it's very good. So from this, he says, the bishul d'or haya b'mishkan b'chashivuta told the ashulu chol adinim ka'av. The bishul d'or l'yisur u'l'chiv skil v'chatat. So he brings down that he thinks it's bishul d'gamre. He thinks that a bishul in a microwave is a complete din of bishul, and therefore, it's asur and also by bishul akum as well. Now, I know for a fact, and this comes up, for instance, by Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts that are kosher in America, when they're kosher, there is a problem with bishul akum there, because they do use the microwave, or they use the microwave to heat up eggs. To make, but they used to crack, they get an egg, and then they crack it in, and they cook it in the microwave to make it into a hardened egg, to make an egg croissant. So they cook the egg. So they put it in a microwave. Does that have a din of bishul akum or not? So that's the question. So in the place, I'll tell you, the Dunkin' Donuts in the Five Towns has a sign outside that it's bishul akum, and that if you want to do it, then you have to go push the button to have the microwave work. And they know that. The workers there know that you go push the button for the microwave. Now, in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where there's also kosher Dunkin' Donuts, no sign of bishul akum. And that's Rabbi Teitz believes, and I've heard it from himself, that bishul akum is a gzeira in or, in fire. That's the difference. It's not a din in bishul, it's a din in or, a din in fire. Now we saw from the source, we saw that yesterday's daf, there's a din in or, it's a din in fire, and without fire, there is no bishul akum over here. So he wants to suggest that there is no bishul akum. Fine, they put it in the microwave, but there's no bishul akum, there's no fire. Without fire. So now you would differentiate between Shabbos and bishul akum. But Shabbos, the issue is the totza'ah. Is it a cooked item? Did you accomplish what they did in the Mishkan? You cooked it just like they cooked in the Mishkan. So just like Rav Moshe, yeah. It cooks well, the microwave, and it does what it did in the Mishkan. So you could be chayim on Shabbos, yet it wouldn't be a problem bishlakum. You could differentiate between the two. And there are others who want to suggest that even on Shabbos it may not be cooking. But I think mostly muskam, almost lakol, is by cooking on Shabbos that has a din in bishul, because you accomplish the tola. In the end, you get the totsa'ah, the melechet mashev that you want. You get a cooked item out of the microwave. And even the Shiva Levi says, what's the difference between cooking with fire and cooking with electricity? Right? Why is that any different? Electricity also has a din of like ish in some ways. So why isn't that also considered like cooking? So he says, I think that it's full-fledged cooking. Now they extend it even to bishlakum, that it should be bishlakum. And Rav Teitz wanted to say that without ish, you can't have bishlakum. So microwaves are not problematic because of that issue. And again, bishlakum will make a difference in these types of situations where they're microwaving things in the store. The other issue that comes up, which is interesting, is coffee. What's the din of coffee? Does coffee have a din of bishlakum or not? You can't eat coffee raw. In its raw state, it must be placed into hot water and cooked in order to be right. Chocolate will come into that same category, right? Cocoa and chocolate, where they cook up the powder in order to make it into edible item. So why is it? What's the status here? What's the din of bishlakum in these cases? So everybody, in the end, everybody is matir. The question is why. Why are they matter here by coffee? So there are different stages or different developments. One of them is based on a Tosus that we saw before, which is, what is the bracha on beer? What was the bracha on beer? We know that the bracha on beer is shakon liyeh bidvaro. Yet beer is made from hops. So why isn't the din of borei minei mizanot? So Tosus early on made a statement here about why it doesn't have a problem of bishul akum. We saw this Tosus together, that it doesn't have a din of bishul akum. It doesn't have a problem of bracha of only shahakol, has a the brahma morim minim izo, but rather bracha of shahakol is because the ikar is the water. The hops themselves are not the ikar, but rather the ikar is the water. And if the ikar is the water, there's no bishul akum and the bracha shahakol. So the main theory by coffee is the same thing. That the ikar, what bracha do you make on coffee? You make a shahakol and the yebid varo on coffee. That indicates that what's the ikar part here is the water and not the coffee itself. Now, it's true that the coffee lends flavor to the water, but if you were thought that the coffee was the real item over here, you'd have to either make a bari priya adamah or bari priya eitz on coffee. The fact that we don't, and then there are those that argue, meaning that there are those that argue on this point that we make a chocolate. Some say that we should be making a chocolate also, bari priya adamah, and possibly bari priya eitz, depending on what you think exactly about the coffee, but whatever the bracha, but it shouldn't be chocolate. The fact that we do say shak on it is like that Tosu is indicative of the fact that it's not bishlakum, because by mayim there is no bishlakum. We saw that before. You could drink water before it's heated, you could drink water after it's heated. There's no bishlakum. So the fact that we make shak on coffee already is a heter. The other heterim are that it could also be eaten in its raw state, meaning that they are kluyot. The roasted beans that you eat over there, they can't be chewed on, they can't be eaten. Now, not everybody eats them like that, no, but everybody would eat them like that. But over there, when they're in the roasted state, why isn't that a problem, bishlakum? Because that's not over al shulchan melachim. Nobody serves roasted coffee beans on a shulchan melachim. That's not the case. But once it reaches that point, they can be eaten. And since they can't be eaten, later on when you cook it and put it into water and you dissolve it into the water and cook it, that's kishnech al-chai, is eaten afterwards. So based on that, you could also say there's no bishlakum over here. Now those can be rejected, because when you say nech al-chai, we have to say that a lot of people would do that. And the point is that I don't think a lot of people would chew on coffee beans or roasted coffee beans. That's not necessarily the case that people would do it in that state or eat it in that raw state. So you could have a heter like that. It's not necessarily the case. So based on those two items, we say that there is no bishlakum by coffee. The other additional item is the cups themselves that they put the coffee in. Now today, when you go to a store and you get a disposable cup, okay, fine. That's not as big a deal. But on airplanes and other places where they give you, in stores, where they give you a porcelain or glass to put it in, then what's the problem? Okay, now if they just make coffee in them, which is usually true, they use as coffee cups, no problem, because these are just used for coffee. They wouldn't put anything else in them because it would ruin the taste. So if they're only used for coffee, you have kosher coffee. The coffee in general is not a problem. And therefore, you don't have an issue. The issue that Rav Avadia Yosef raises is the problem of milk. That they actually put milk in there. And the milk is roteach, and it's chalav akum. So there, we have a chalav akum, then you have a problem. Now you have chalav akum that's nivla, betoch the kos, and it's sometimes it's so hot that it's a kli rishon. It's kli rishon, and it's absorbing the milk. So now you go in and drink from it. So there are two heterim. One heter is, and we're going to see this in Tosfos coming up, we haven't gotten it to today, that stam kelim of an ovi chachamim have a din of enam bnei yoman. They're not a bnei yonam, and therefore it's notin tam lefkam, And we generally assume. The problem with that assumption is that's just not true. When you go into a store, they're using the cups all the time. We know that. They just brought them out washed from the back. That's number one. And number two is that on a plane also, when they use them, they reuse them on a regular basis, these types of cups. So I don't know if it's such a good chap to say that in Bnei Yoman. So in the end, the Rav Avadia Yosef says that when it comes to glass, that's not boleya, there he's willing to be maker. When it's just coffee cups, because it's not boleya. So he says that the Ramah, he says, even according to the Ramah, who says that glass is a din like kli cheres, he says he was only machmer like that. But in a case here, where we already have a suffix of chol vakum and in a bnei yoman, he says, with that tziruf, even the Ramah would say it's okay for glass, b'shat ha-tchak. He was willing to say it in the Ramah. I'm just saying that he was willing to say it in the Ramah. But he says with porcelain cups, then you do have a problem. And there he's only willing to be matir al yidei techak, which is that when you're holich derech, maybe on an airplane where you're holich derech, that it's al yidei techak, maybe there we can be matir. So he's matir al yidei techak b'diyevet. But he says if tavola bracha, if he doesn't drink from those cups on the airplane, that he uses his own glass or he brings a disposable a cup to use for the coffee. Okay, so that's bagels. The Rav Moshe has it.
Roasted.
That the reason there is that the roasting doesn't only al shulchan malachim, and then the problem from roasting to the final state of coffee is that people can eat them chai. You can eat it before, in the roasted state, you could chew on the coffee bean and people can consume it in that manner. The fact that you now dilute it into the water, dissolve it in the water. Now, there is another issue, which is that is, coffee is ola al shulchan melachim. That's a lot of what Rav Avadia Yosef spends in his tshuva, is that coffee today is ola al shulchan melachim. Now, what is ola al shulchan melachim means, and this is that, it's not doesn't mean that the president of the United States drinks coffee for breakfast, or that he has grilled cheese at his breakfast. Ola al shulchan melachim is that he would serve it at a state dinner. And it's something that's of significance in chashivus that you would bring it to a formal type of dinner. Now that is true by coffee. Coffee will be brought to a formal dinner. People will serve coffee at a formal dinner. So it is ola al shulchan melachim. So that could provide a problem. The Rav Avadia Yosef has here, it's very interesting about desserts, that he says that by desserts, it comes out that it's not malafet in a pot. One of the qualifications that the Rambam says, and the Gemara says, is that what it means ola al shulchan melachim, it's ola shulchan melachim bo et a pot. To accompany the pot, but when the Shulchan Aruch qualifies it, Shulchan Aruch does not bring that exact lashon. The Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, says if it is ola Shulchan Aruch lelafei bo pot or paperet or a dessert. So it sounds like from this that for desserts you don't need malafet et pot. You just need it. So that would mean that coffee, which is a standalone item that is brought on the Shulchan Melachim, could be a problem of bishulakum. If that's the case, that rejects all these ideas that it doesn't work because of Bishul Akum, because of Ein Ola Shulchan Melachim, or it's in Echal Chai, because it is Ola Shulchan Melachim, and Echal Chai is not such a great heter. That's why in the end, Rav Avadia Yosef is very somek on this Tosfos. Tosfos says that the bracha we make is Shehakol, and the bracha that is making me Shehakol, that shows you that the Ikar is the Mayim and not the coffee. And that's the real heter in Bishul Akum by coffee. That's what the Rav Avadia Yosef is somek on because of this problem. Coffee is Ola Shulchan Melachim. He does, in one sense, there is a chiluk that he wants maybe make between drinks and food. And only food as a din of being an independent item, like a dessert. Drinks don't have that idea of being bishlakum when they're brought as a separate item. Only if they're brought as part of the meal are they considered Ola Shulchan Melachim. But if they're brought as just an independent item, that's not classified as Ola Shulchan Melachim. So that would also be another tzad heter. That's my coffee. Bagels, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in bagels. It's a very interesting tshuva. And then he has his grandson, Rav Tendler. Rav Mordechai Tendler writes back to him and has some critique on him. And Rav Moshe accepts the critique that he writes over there. Rav Moshe writing about bagels says, Binyan bagel, em yesh ishu de bishu leyakum. But my mchamim shibba batim lin shavas, he has all these others. Hinei bedara bagel, shir ba oda isa, yotim ata ba mayim lotchim. When it's still a dough, they dump it, they dunk it into boiling water. And then they bake it in the oven. And it goes through two stages. It's first boiled, the bagel's boiled, and then baked. After they place in the boiling water, it's already roy the achila. No esar bishul yakum mitzad afia. That's not a problem of afia afterwards. But since they already, after that boiling point, they can be somewhat consumed over there, the afia afterwards does not make it or add anything that makes it, you know, more edible, but it was still edible prior to that point in time. So the baking is not an issue of bishlakum, although he says it might be a problem of patakum. That afia might create patakum, but it may not create bishlakum. So that's what he says with regards to bagels. Now obviously, if On the other way around, which is that if it was done boiled by the akum, and then the Jew bakes it, so then maybe it would be a problem bishul akum, because they brought it, the goy brought it to the point at which it was maybe edible or pas machol ben dusai, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel. So you might run into a problem if the goy was the one who did the dunking and the Jew does the afiyah. So you have to be careful about that in that instance where it's the other way around. So that's one over here. There are other tshuvos which are interesting. The Shevet HaLevi, as well as the Sri De'esh, talk about factories. That maybe there should be no din of bishul akum in factories. Which is that the bishul akum is all about the personalization, about the socialization. So when you talk about bishul akum in large factories, why should there be any din of bishul akum? Bishul akum over there, you don't know, when you buy it in the store, you have no idea who baked it, you have no idea who cooked it, he didn't invite you over to the meal, he didn't have anything to do with this socialization. So maybe there should be no bishul akum. They are only the tzad hat there, that by big factories there might be room, whether it's zero for something else, for instance, where there's no fire. So if it's steam cooked, or it's done with other processes besides ish, maybe with the tzirah of that, and the fact that it's a factory, they'd be willing to opt out of bishul akum. That will help for pasteurization. But pasteurization of items, which does bring it up to the level of possibly bishul, but it's done on their process that doesn't involve ish, done through steam, or is it done through hot water, maybe in that case, it won't be bishul akum, it's done in a factory. So that's where they are, they're omei the tzad heter, or omei the tzad hakum, when another tzirah of two kulot over there. Restaurants, why? Oh, because you don't see the person in the back. Yeah, but that's an ikur. That is a place of socialization. I think that's exactly where Rav, we saw before in the Gemara, they wouldn't drink beer when they bought it in the non-Jewish store. They walked outside, or they walked home. Because when you purchase it there and you eat there, that's the ikur of the socialization. So there, I think it could be a problem. Right, takeout, right. Well, there, takeout might be better. That's exactly what they're saying. When you bring it in a big place, takeout might be okay. Now, we don't necessarily, I don't want to say that, but you know that that's definitely a thought process. The other hand, might you say the opposite. The fact that it allows both Jews and non-Jews to eat it might create the situation of bishul akum, and the fact that it's done by an akum does create socialization. But anyway, there are, just so you know, there are kulas. Something else, which I don't have time to get to in the shir is also, and I'll send you the shutim on this also, is help, domestic help. What's the status of domestic help when it comes to bishul akum? Do they become a part of the Jewish family, and therefore there's no longer a problem with bishul akum, or do they retain their status as an obin kochabim, and therefore there'll be a problem of bishul akum? And obviously this has major nafkaminot for help that's in the house that does cooking, and whether we assume that the Jew has to light the fire, or that we assume that the Jew did light the fire in order to make the not a problem of bishul akum, or maybe we don't need it in these cases because they become a part of the family. Again, most people are machmir over here and say that it is a problem of bishul akum, but again, I'll send you the shutim that are involved with that case as well. The last thing, which I won't get a chance to talk about, are things like sardines and stuff that are in cans. Why, what about those? How come they're edible? How come you're allowed to eat those items, or sardines, or non-cooked items, or peyrot, may peyrot? When it comes to cooking of fruits for their juices, or cooking out the juices of fruits, why does that not have a din in bishul akum or not? So those are also tshuvos that there's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's another tshuva from Vadi Yosef. I'll send you all the makoros, you can take a look at them, but very, very interesting concepts in bishul akum. Work on finishing up the daf here. I'm about to go through now other examples of items where they are classified or not classified as bishul akum. Some Ravina Hilchata, Hai Rifta, the Shogar Obe Chachavim, this bread where the Obe Chachavim lit the oven, Va'afa Yisrael, the Jew baked it, Inami, Shogar Yisrael, the Jew lit the fire, Va'afa Obe Chachavim, and the Goy cooked it, Inami, Shogar Obe Chachavim, Va'afa Obe Chachavim, he did everything. Va'at Yisrael, Bechata, Bach, Yituyeh, Shapidami, he just stokes the fire a little bit, that's enough. So that's over here. That was the het that we saw, even according to the Rambam, and even according to the Shulchan Aruch, who says, by bishul akum, it's not enough to do a small thing. When it comes to pats, and it comes to afiyah, there it's enough to do a small amount, and just the Jew be involved somehow. It has a little involvement here, that's enough, in order to not classify it as being a bishul akum. Alright, now next. Dag maliach, when it comes to salty fish. Hechizkiah shari. Over here, Chizkiah was shari. So now, over here, we're talking about a case where malchov de chachavim was salted by a non-Jew. So now, what's the din over here? And it's eaten like that. Does it have a din in bishul? Not a din in bishul. So that before, we talked about a case where the Jew salted it, and then afterwards, the goy cooked it. Over here, we said it was enough that the Jew salted it, because it was edible at that point, and when the goy cooked it, he didn't make it any more edible. He changed the status, but it's still edible in both states. Over here, when the goy himself does the maliach, that's what we asked before. Does it have a din like Shabbos? Or a din like basar b'chalav? Is that a din in cooking? So here, Chizkiah Shari, Rabbi Yochanan Asar. So over here we see this machlokus, and we pass on the head there, which is that it's not. It's mutar because meliach is not kibish mevusha when it comes to bishulayakum or bishulakum. Now, beitza tsluya. What about an egg? A roasted egg? Maybe that is done. Bar kapra, bar kapara, shari, Rabbi Yochanan asar. Rabbi says it's a sur. So over here we say it's a sur. Why? Over here we say, well, someone can take the egg down raw. Problem is that most people don't eat eggs raw, right? So that's a problem over here. But there, so here when they cook it, maybe there's a lot more to talk about. Gyatar abdim amar echad dag maliach, echad beitzat tzluya, chizki ar bar kapara sharu, Rabbi Yochanan asar. In both these cases. Rabbi Chia parva, ikle beirish kaluta, you went to beirish amalei, beitzat tzluya, my, what they asked him, what's the dinner in Beit Tzluya? Amalu, Chizkiyahu, Bar Kapar, Shaul, Rabbi Yochanan, Asar. Says, we have a machlokus here. Vein Tavarav Shalecha, Ben Makam Shnayim. It's two against one. We're going to go the head there. So Amalu, Rav Zvid, Lo Tetzitulei. Don't listen to him. Rav Zvid, who's there, says, don't listen to him. Hachi Amar Abaye, Huchatok Abay, Tavir Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye says, the Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan, who we do Paschal like here, not by Dag Maliach, but by Beit Tzluya, we Paschal like Rabbi Yochanan. So then, the people of the Beit Reish Galuta, Shkuya Neduta de Chalo, they gave him some vinegar to drink, for Nachnam Shani died. So maybe that they gave him some strong vinegar to Rav Zvid, because they didn't like his psak. His psak went against the Reish Galuta, and he died. That's what Pash just read the Gemara over here. I did see one alternative shot that said that they gave him, that he was upset. Yeah, he was upset that they didn't accept his psak there, and therefore they gave him vinegar to revive him and to make him feel better, to assuage him. But they gave him vinegar. So they showed him that he had gotten sick, and he had gotten sick, and then in this case they gave him vinegar, which is a din in bishlakom. But nevertheless, when it's mamakom atzorek or mamakom chole, we allowed him to violate or allow him to eat the vinegar, even though there's a chashash of davar tamei in it. So they said, oh, the same thing should be true by beitza tzluya. That was the other possibility of reading the Gemara. Though the pashas of Gemara is that they killed him basically. All right, Tana Rabbanana, kafisim. We talk about caper or caper bushes. Hakuflu tot or leeks. Vemetalia, which I have written down here as liverwort, but we're going to see the Gemara is going to explain in a second that it has some sort of beans. Vechamin, hot water, veklayot, and roasted items, shilahem, mutarim. All those are mutar. All those don't have a din in bishlakum. Beitzat tzluya, asura. The other hand, a roasted egg is problematic. Shemen. Comes to oil, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Beitonim, knew aleam. We know already that they decided about this. Vitiru, and they said it's not a problem. Tanya. So the Gemara now explains. He mitah matalia, he pashlaya, he shiato. All the time, they're all synonymous. Matalia, pashlaya, and shiato. And these are a type of bean or an Egyptian bean. My shiato, what is a shiato? Amr Berchana, it's an Amr Rabbi Yochanan, I are being shnin, about 40 years ago, the nafik hai uvdom in Mitzrayim. This case came out of Mitzrayim. Rabbi Berchana, didday amar, he himself says shitin shnin, it happened 60 years ago, the nafik hai uvdom in Mitzrayim. Lo pigi, mar b'shnei. It's not a difference, it's just about their ages. You know, how long ago, when they were talking, what they were talking about. It happened at the same time, one was 60 years afterwards that he was speaking, one was talking 40 years afterwards. Not that they actually have a machlokus when it happened. Hey, Chayavid, what's the case here? Mighty bizra the karposa, they brought celery seeds, ubizra the kidna, and seeds of flax, ubizra shavlila, and fenugreek seeds, betarlu bahadi adari, and they soaked them together, bshure, in warm water. Bishavkule, and then they left them at the mikabo until they sprouted. Mighty chatzve charate, and then they brought new pots for them. Umalulu mayon, they fill them waters with tarubu, and they let them soak there, and then with gargishta, with this red clay, umedabkin bay, and then they plant it into this red clay that's there, violin the bay bani, and they take them into the bathhouse, and adanafke, when we entered the bathhouse, we put them into the red clay, midalafke, when already we're walking out, malavlave, they already blossomed. Vachle minai, we ate them, vikari mibenta the reshayu adatofa the kirayu, and it cooled our bodies off from the hairs on the tippy hairs of our head to the toenails on our feet. And it cooled our entire bodies off from the bathhouse. So, Amar Avashi, Amar Li Rabbi Chanina, Milin. This is a joke. Because nothing blossoms that fast. It's no way that these items, first of all, they blossom together. And there's no way that they blossom that fast. Varmila, Bimilin. And some say that it means Bimilin. It was sorcery or witchcraft. That this was done by sorcery or witchcraft, that they accelerated the growth process. But this isn't real, or this can't happen in real life. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Ha Kuspin. Now, kuspan are date husks. They're heated up in a large cauldron, asur. But yorek tana mutar, in a small cauldron, they're mutar. Basically, yorek tana, what's a small cauldron? Now, Rabbi Yana, koshein tzipor drawer, yechol ikanes betocho. Or tocha. Anything that a small bird, I call it a swallow or a love bird, some very, very small bird, that the smallest bird that is tamei. So that, since he can't get in there, they can't fit it in there, they're not going to put anything in there that's tameh. Our chashash over here is that they're going to mix in dover tameh into the mixture. And so if it's small, the opening to the cauldron is too small to fit in a bird, the smallest bird that's tameh, then we don't worry about it. Who says they have to put the whole bird in there? They chop up the bird and they can put it in piece by piece. Who says they're going to put in the whole bird? So Ella, Koshein Rosh Tzipor Dror Yecholi Kanes B'tocha. The smallest limb of the smallest bird that is Tamei, if it can't fit in there, then you're okay. So if the head can't fit in, then it's okay. V'atanya, don't we have a braita? Achad Yorek Dola, V'achad Yorek Tana Mutar. Don't we have a braita that explicitly says it doesn't matter what the size of the cauldron is, it's okay. Lokasho. Agamandamar notin tam lefkan masur. Agamandamar notin tam lefkan mutar. Has to do whether this is a notin tam lefkan asur or notin tam lefkan is mutar. That's the problem over here. Why? Because we're talking about pots over here, and Rashi makes the statement, and Tosos seconds the statement, which has major nafkamino dalocha, which is chol geulei of the chamin notin tam lefkan. All pots of the over the Avodah Zarah are notin tam lefkan. Sharein it bashal yisured mo. The issue was cooked yesterday. Var hufag tamo. And the flavor already left it. And that is that we assume that all kelim are a, all kelim have a din of enum b'nei yoman. And there, since they're enum b'nei yoman, it's not in tam lifkam. Since it's not in tam lifkam, we don't worry about it. And Tosus brings down the same idea over here, which is kaimelon nami, the stam clay of the chum enum b'nei yoman. V'chein poskim, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the reed, the stam clay of enum b'nei yoman. Final time of the fish you speak sveika. This is the reason, because it's a speak sveika. So first of all, Tosfos brings that all these, the Reed, the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rashi all agree, which that's a big deal already. So since they all agree that it's enum, that the stam kilim is enum b'nei yoman, that's what we paskin. And the reason is it's a speak sveika. Safek nishtabom ha'yom o etmo. First of all, there's the first suffix, which was what they used today, or what they used yesterday. It has 24 hours elapsed. And even if they were used today, maybe what was used for is something that doesn't give off a flavor, or something that gives off a bad flavor. So you have a speik sveika over here, and that speik sveika is matter these kelim. So that's why we're talking about notem lefkam or eno notem lefkam. So that's the difference over here. If you think that notin tam lefkam is mutar, then that's okay. You can use the small or the big cauldron. And then if you think notin tam lefkam is asur, then you'll have a problem with the big cauldron, and it'll be mutar with a small cauldron, where we're sure that the dover tamei can't get in there. You can never cook the dover tamei in there, and therefore the pot won't have a problem. This oil that was cooked, darmai, by the non-Jew, asur. What do we have to worry about here? If you think they're going to add wine into it, it ruins it. It doesn't have any shelf life. We said this before, that when you add the wine into the shemen, it loses its shelf life. And therefore, if it's sticking around and it's not going bad, then we know that there's no wine added to it. Or the guy won't add wine to it because it'll cause it to go bad. If it's a problem, bishul akum, oil it can be eaten when it's in its raw state or in its cooked state. So what are you worried about here? Are you worried about the fact that it was brought up in a pot, of a non-Jewish pot? So there's a problem of notin tam. It says notin tam lefkam o mutar. This is notin tam lefkam, and notin lefkam is not a problem, because we assume that it was enu b'nei yoman, the pot, and everyone cooks the oil in it, it wasn't a problem. So wherefore we're matir when it comes to shemen that was nidbasho. Bar minei Rabbi Asi, hani ahine shlikei deramai. So these ahine, these tamarim that are cooked, what's their din? These non-Jewish dates that are cooked. My. Choyei loti bailach, devadei sharu. Talking about sweet dates, there you don't have to ask me, because there it's clear that you can eat it raw and you can eat it cooked. It makes no difference. Mirirei bitter dates, loti bailach, devadei asiri. There it's definitely asur, because they cannot be eaten in their raw state because they're bitter, and they must be heated up or cooked in order to make them sweet and edible. So there it's clearly bishlakum. Bailach mitzei. You say that these middle types of dates, my, what's the din there? You would eat them, you'd eat them raw, but you prefer to eat them mevusho. What's the din? Is there bishlakum? So I'm like, oh, my, tibayluchu. So what do you say? The Rabbi Asar, right? What do you want me to say? What are you asking? My Rebbe was also this. And who's my Rebbe? Levi. Manu Levi. Now, shtita'ah. What is shtita'ah? Rashi says, tavshil asumi kemach shel kluyot. It's made out of flour that was made from roasted kernels that they dried out in the tanur. Some people make it out of flour from lentils. Because it's very sweet, they add in vinegar to take away some of the taste or to limit the taste. Rav Shari, Avod Shmuel Levi Asri. Rav said it was mutar. Father Shmuel Levi said it was asur. Bechite b'sarei. When we're talking about wheat and barley, kuli amalo pligi de shari. There it's kuli mutar because it's not so sweet that you'd have to add in vinegar. But tafachay de chala, kuli amalo pligi de asir. Comes tafachay when it comes to these lentils that are very sweet. There, everybody agrees that they're going to put in chometz because it's just too sweet. So therefore, it's asur. He pligi b'tafachay de mayi. The problem is we're dealing with lentils that are put in water that they add water to them. So in the lentils where they add vinegar, it's for sure asur. In the lentils where they add water, marsav gazrin and halutua. One says that we're gozer one upon the other. I mean, the tafchei maya technically should be fine, because we're not worried about them adding in chometz. We're not worried about adding in the vinegar that came from wine, because they didn't. They did it in water. They diluted it with water, not with vinegar. So that we know it's mutar. The problem is, where we gozer in the water, up to when they do it in the chometz. Marzavah lo gozerin, and we don't make such a gezeira. Igadari tafchei maya tekumei alo pigi dasir. No, some say that by tafchei maya, even when it's diluted in water, placed in water, that even there, they are not, everybody says also, ki pligi bichite visare. They argue about wheat and barley. Marzavah gozerin ha-tuha. Some say that we're gozer when it comes to wheat and barley, to lentils. Marzavah lo gozerinan. Amar Rava, Trei Minei Shtita. There are two different types of shtita. This dish that's made it from these roasted kernels that are later put into, ground into a flour and then, cooked. That special dish, there are two types. Shadar by Zilei Giladi le David. Zilei Giladi, when he went to send something to, David, send him two of these dishes. Tichtiv, he says over there, Mishkav Safot, Bikli Yotzer, Chitim, Bisaurim, Bikemech, Bikali, Upuva, Dashim, Bikali. So since it says the word Kali twice in the Pasuk, so when it says Kali, one Kali refers to the Adashim, and one Kali refers to the Chitim and the Sarim. And we see today that there are people, they bring out basketfuls of this stuff to the Shuk of Narda, and nobody worries about the Isur of Avod Shmo V'Levi, and we're passing like Rav that it's Mutar, and one is able to eat them. It sounds like from here, I think this is according to the second Lashon that we're talking about Chite and Tzare, that they were willing by Chite and Tzare not to worry about the problem of mixing or out to lentils, and therefore it is Mutar. Okay, we'll stop over here.